All right, God is great. Yeah. Well, we have the most faithful people. You're truly going to go to heaven for this. Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. Rose up, rose up, rose up early in the morning. And he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. According to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now, nobody knows how to date this book. As a matter of fact, it almost didn't make it into the to the Old Testament. It almost didn't make it in. But it did make it. And I know when it is. I know when it is. So I'm going to preach something you've never heard before. And there's no scholarly book on it. So there's no way to assert with certainty that what I'm going to tell you is the absolute biblical truth. But I believe it is. And I'm going to use it as a teaching device on my 7 chairs. I've had 3 more to make my point. Now the one is behind chair number 1. The second one is chair number 2, and the third one is chair number 4. So they each have duplicates, those 3. 7 sons, 3 daughters. 7 sons, 3 daughters. This is the story of Job. Now, Job lived at the time before Abraham. Before. So it's the oldest book in the Bible, though it's not the first. Because Moses later wrote based on texts, which were certain, of all that happened in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on, because he lived through much of it himself. And so he wrote those words that were handed down in 10 holidot. Tolidot is a word for books. In other words, they were stone tablets, or they were clay tablets that had been hardened. So they made it across on Noah's Ark. Came all the way down to Moses so that he had something to go on that was certain. So all the stuff that you read in Genesis 1 and in Exodus and so on, that's something he knew about firsthand because he went through the Exodus, or he knew about it by those 10 Toledot, which are in the book of in Genesis. So those 10 Toledot are there. Now, so I'm going to, I wouldn't call it speculating because I know I'm sure I'm right. So I would say, if you keep reading, you'll see that there's reference to what I'm saying. But I'm using it as a teaching mechanism. So you can teach something out of this, and it's those three chairs that are behind that I'm going to teach on. Because one is natural man called Gentiles. It's the very first world was filled with Gentiles. Okay? And so that group back there is those that are today Gentiles that are not just sinners like the front chair, but they're actually, they follow reason and conscience. So they're under a natural law. So these are those that will be approved of by God because naturally they only had what they had, which was reason, common sense, self-evident truths. They only had their moral conscience, and that's all they had. And Job is in this category. Job was perfect. He was perfect, upright. In other words, God said, have you, when Satan came around, it's the next verse we're going to read. When Satan came around, he said, hey, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? These are Gentiles. They're not Jewish. These are Gentiles. And this is the time of Nimrod. Before Abraham. Before the time of Abraham. Because after Nimrod's tower was destroyed, there were righteous people among those people. And they followed the law. But not God's law revealed to Moses, chair 2. And not Jesus Christ, because he wasn't around. He was only known to God. That was a secret hidden for the ages. So there are two, and all of these will be saved. All of these will be saved. The Gentile who follows his reason didn't know any better, but follows it in a righteous way. That was Job. And then the Jewish people who, like Abraham, believed by faith, not by the yoke of bondage, here in chair 2. So chair 2 has some Jews are actually part of the election that Abraham, when he cut his covenant with Abraham, and that's why Matthew starts out with Abraham, son of David, king, and also son of Abraham, faith. So his message about the kingdom was that the kingdom of God on earth is made up of Christians, which Jesus started. He's the founder. He's the one that started that. But it's built on these two bases. It's built on Jewish people that believed by faith in the Old Testament. And if you read that, you see, hey, there were saints in the Old Testament that will make it to heaven. And there's also pagans that just had natural law, but they are righteous. They are perfect because they follow their conscience. They follow what is natural to them. So those three groups will be saved. I'm teaching you this because they had three daughters. These are the three. You have the pagans, Gentiles, and the time of the Gentiles hasn't come to an end yet. He's still sorting out between this Gentile and this Gentile. These sin, and these don't. And these Jewish people are either under yoke of bondage, or they actually have faith in God through Abraham. And those in chair four either fall backwards to chair one and two in the front row, or they actually go on to four, five, and six. And so they're perfect. And that will be us, the first fruits of Jesus, the first fruits. Now, I know you're not following, because even though you read the Bible, you can misunderstand it. So I'm telling you that here are the seven children, boys, and they each had a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. They each had a day that there was feasting in their house, and they invited the three daughters. These three daughters are the true people under natural law, under Jewish law, and they tried their best, but they did it by faith. And under Christian church, they are not lukewarm. Because if you only stop with four, you're lukewarm. So you can be, and these won't make it. They won't make it. But God sorts each one of these out, these three kingdoms, these three covenants, these three choices that you get to make. Will I be a pagan, but a good one? A good pagan. Like Hitchens. He was such a person that said, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, but I am moral. Okay, well, if he were perfectly moral, which he wasn't, but if he were perfectly moral, then God would reward him, because he stuck to his reason and moral conscience and so on. So let's take him at his word that he did fairly well. But we don't really know how God will judge, because only God judges the heart. But there will be natural Gentiles that actually don't know anything about Jesus, but as soon as they hear the gospel, they become Christian. And there will be Jewish people that are by faith, and they also will become Christian. But the process is something I'm not going to get into, because it's throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, and it's consummated in the book of Revelation. You'll see there are these three groups, and some will make it. Now, they're varying degrees, but the superior one is this one, that you believe not only in God, fear God, which he did. He feared God. He trusted God. He made offerings. But that's not the Jewish thing, where God himself will provide the offering. He's making his own, just like the Jews make their own. They make it based on the law of Moses. So these are under the natural law. These are under the revealed law to Moses. And these are under the gospel. Do you see that? This is not taught, but I'm teaching it to you because it's in the Bible. And here is the perfect example. So when you see this, that he has three daughters, those in the back, and seven sons, those in the front. But only those that receive Jesus, because they repent, this chair, of these two. But if you are a chair four and you believe in Jesus, you will then go on to this chair and then on to this chair, so that you'll be a bride ready when Jesus comes back. So it would be easy for me to add many, many chairs up here. But I'm just making this simple point, that there's three groups, three covenants, three choices that everyone makes. Whether I'll be a pagan, but a good one. Whether I'll be a Jewish person, but one who has faith in Abraham's faith. In other words, they believed, not because they had faith, they believed that God was faithful to keep his promise. So they believed in the faithfulness of God, to keep his promise. So their faith wasn't in their faith. Their faith was in God keeping his promise. There'll be Jewish people like that, and they'll make it also into heaven. And they will be in heavenly places. But also, they go on, and so they're ready, like wise virgins, they're ready for the Lord to come back. Now, if you read your Bible over and over and over and over again 1,000 times, you won't get what I'm teaching you today. I'm telling you that this is the meaning of chapter 1, because he's in the time of Nimrod. In other words, not everyone believed in Nimrod that he was a god. He was a wild leopard. He was an untamed leopard, but the king had him right next to him. Because anyone who attacked the king, the leopard would gobble them up, eat them up, devour them. And so, this teaching is that he had 7 sons. And every day, each one of those 7 had a festival in their home. And they invited the sisters. So the sisters are the ones that are righteous in the back row, the 7 daughters. And they each invited them. When it was my turn, I invited all the sisters. When it was his turn, he invited all the sisters, and so on throughout the 7. Each one had a day. You cannot understand this unless you understand it the way I'm understanding it, is that these are not just sisters and sons. These are actually picturing something prophetically. And if you read it by the spirit of the law, you're set free. Because this group here, the pagans, being open sinners like I was, an open sinner is someone that grew up without any religion. I had no religion and I had no morals. None. I'm not bragging on it. I'm just simply saying I'm ashamed today that I grew up in ignorance. But the minute that I heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I became happy because there was nothing in it that seemed to be a lie. There's nothing in it that seemed to me as a pagan. I was definitely a heathen, a pagan. I had nothing going for me except take care of me. So I was sinful, but I repented in chair 3, and I became a believer at a certain point. And if you're a believer by faith, you find out that your faith is always ahead of your works. In other words, the word is ahead of the work. The word is the head of the work. So if Abraham, and Peggy and I had this discussion in the car, but I didn't explain it. Why was Abraham circumcised? Well, she said it was to show his faith that the work followed the word. He had faith in God, and then he followed up by being circumcised, because God accounted his faith as righteous, and therefore he did the work. But that's only for Abraham and for the Jewish people. Even though Abraham had 3 wives, 1, 2, 3 in the back row. He had Keturah, a Gentile. He had Sarah, his wife, Jewish, that is, not Jewish, actually 430 years before Jewish people became a people or a nation. And also then, as Christians, that's a new creation, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither Gentile nor Jew. So there's 3 groups. There's always 3 groups, and there will always be 3 groups. And they will then be accounted as righteous. The first 2, not by keeping the law, but by keeping, obeying whatever God said. And even though you don't see this today, you will in the day of the Lord, which is right around the corner. We don't know when, because it's on the 3rd day. He said he rose up early in the morning. He rose up early in the morning. That's the resurrection. So by rising up early in the morning, what he's saying is that he was righteous under the natural law. Many people today are righteous and they're not Christian. They're Buddhists, or they're Hindus, or they're Muslims, or they're witchcraft people. It doesn't matter. The witchcraft people will be open like me, and the liars and so on and so forth. I grew up that way. But I'm no longer that way. That I've become a new creation. So chair four, I can either be, and I am, not lukewarm, because if you don't go on to five, you will become lukewarm. And the bulk of Christians today are from Laodicea. We live in the age, the last age of the church, which is Laodicea. That only ends when Jesus comes back his second time. As soon as Jesus comes back a second time, that's when it ends. It's over. And Satan will make one last attempt to build the Tower of Babel. That's always his first work, and it's his last work. But it'll never be finished. So he has 1,260 days to accomplish that in 3.5 years, 42 months. Those are different months and different years than we do. But so you can't add it up on your calendar. It won't make sense. Because they had 30-day months, and that amounted to 360 days. So theirs is different. So 1,260 is the number of 1,260 days. So that tells you the number. You don't have to do a lot of thinking about that. And the days are shortened. Otherwise, even the righteous would be tempted. Even the righteous would be tempted if those days were not shortened. He even told you the days. 1,260. 32 months. 3.5 years. Not reckoning by our calendar, but reckoned in ancient calendars. The Babylonian calendar worked like this. A lot of calendars did. So this reckoning, but you'll notice here, and even though I'm telling you, these chairs that I've been teaching you for years, now you're ready to hear something else. That a pagan can actually, under natural law, be reasonable. You can't keep this for very long. But you can be reasonable, and you can actually be favored by God. And God calls Job perfect, upright. And he said to him, he not only obeys the Lord, does everything he's supposed to do under the natural law, but he also eschews, that is, doesn't do evil. So he does the good, and he eschews evil. This was Job. He lived at the time of Nimrod, before Abraham, before the story of Abraham, which is the next story in the Bible. And so, by understanding this, the three daughters of Job and the seven sons of Job all have their roles. We've been doing with the seven for right now. Now we're going to deal with the three daughters because they represent choices you make. Do you want to be a good pagan? Back row. You follow reason. You follow your moral conscience. And I would say that characterizes the Roman Catholic Church just as it does the Jewish, just as it does the Muslim, and so on and so forth. There are good Muslims and there are bad Muslims. There are good Catholics and there are bad Catholics. There are good Protestants and there are bad Protestants. That is lukewarm. So all of them will fall under judgment if you don't go on to chair 5 and 6. And so by teaching you this memory device, you understand that to be a daughter, you could actually be not born again, not under the Jewish law, but just under nature. Chair number one. So if you're just under nature, then you understand that this chair, God actually is going to save them. They're going to be saved. How? Because they were pagans that all they had was natural law, all they had was their reason and their conscience and so on and so forth, and they followed it. And they were righteous, just like Job. And so they have hope. Why? Because they knew nothing about Jesus. They were either of another religion or they had no religion. They're atheists. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they do, they can convert at any time. Son of Sam is in prison in, I think it's New York State. Anyway, he was a bad guy, but he converted at a certain point, and now he's a Christian. They say O.J. Simpson is now a Christian. He leads a Bible study and so on, and that's one of the reasons they let him out, because he was a model, prison person, and he did well. And so now they let him out because he's no danger to society, so someone said. And that is a panel that adjudicated that situation and said, no, he's fine. He'll be okay. He's not a danger. How many know that he sometimes can be foolish? And if he did do it, as some say, and then others swear that he didn't do it, and so on and so forth, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Those things are only known to God. And so I'm not going to disturb it. But I can tell you that someone under the natural law that's in chair one back there, they will be acceptable to God, and they'll be called perfect. And Jesus hasn't come yet. He's going to be many, many years later. The flood happened, and Nimrod was the son of Cush, was the son of Ham, so his grandson. And so he's building the Tower of Babel, and it only lasted a few years. And within 100 years of the flood, it was destroyed. And it said the earth was divided, meaning men were spread then all over the continents, which we have today. They did not have them before. The earth was one place, just one place where they all gathered. But to build that tower, because he did not want to be flooded out, so they built an artificial mountain, which called a pyramid or a ziggurat or a pagoda. It's something raised up high so that the waters can't reach you. But actually what they did was they went up there and read the sun, the moon, and the stars. So it was astrological, not just astronomy, but it was astrological. They felt they were in touch with heaven, and they could figure out scientifically, mind and so on, they could figure out what's going to happen. When will the Nile rise, and when will it, wane, and when will this happen, and so on. So they were reading the stars, because all religions are built on the zodiac understanding, even though people also say it tells the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm really not interested in that, but that also is another reading. But so natural man, just under the natural law, can actually find favor with God. And that's why if you read the book of Job, you can't figure it out, because he's not under the Jewish law. He's not Jewish. He's long before that. He's under the natural law. But a natural person can actually be righteous in God's sight. So it's under the natural law. But the natural law has to be not only influenced by and indirectly influenced by Christians who make that natural person ready so it can inform your conscience. The Jewish law makes sin exceedingly sinful. So the Jewish law doesn't help you to be more righteous, it helps you to be less, because it makes it so severe that you know, oh, we're in trouble. And that's why King David was like that. He went, whoa, Lord, I love your law because it shows me all my sin. Oh, Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who could stand? So King David was like that. And it wouldn't surprise me that another David, read the book of Ezekiel, wouldn't surprise me that someone like that could rule on the earth during the millennium, the day of the Lord. This is before eternity. And so these three groups, under natural law, under the yoke of bondage, but these people are righteous because by faith in Abraham, and these people here are a new creation, not part of the old at all, because they're Christians. And the way you can tell is the tree, you have a tree grafted into the vine, actually goes through clipping and pruning and so on and so forth, so that it bears fruit, love. So if you don't prune the tree, it'll never produce fruit. Unless you have been forgiven by your sins and now cleansed from all unrighteousness, you will not be able to love. So what we need in the church are people that are lovers, and they for sure will be in heaven. But also the Jew will be in heaven. But what about the pagans like Job? But you see, something interesting about Job, if we would read more than the first chapter, is that he said these words. He said these words, "I know." Now that knowledge was not reason, not morals. That knowledge, because only reason and morals unites all mankind. Reason and morals unites all mankind. So that means that the Muslim, the good one, the ones that are, you know, nice, as we say in human terms, they could make a deal with some of the others and then kill off the Jew, who's the trouble. And then if they made that deal and pulled that off, that would be the king of the north and the king of the south. And then you would have the Antichrist and the false prophet all together. And then killing off the Jews, and out of that would come, after judgment comes, deliverance. And so the sons of Levi, which would be one third of that group, would then be part of the sons of Levi that also make it into heaven, just like Christians, because they were brought in not by their own choice, but by election. Because when Moses taught the law, there were already Jews that God had already selected out, and they would be part of that group in the back, those three daughters, those three kingdoms, those three covenants, those three choices that you make. They are the wife, the wife, the wife. It always has to be the daughters. And every day that he went to his, each son had a day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They each had a day, and they always invited the three sisters in the back. Now, when they died, when they perished, they actually resurrected, because he had more than that the next time he had children, and he kept the same wife, which is very interesting. He stayed with the same wife. Now, you remember that God speaks to you in the Old Testament. That's called a type. And then the antitype is the New Testament or the New Covenant. So the New Covenant or the New Testament, I like the word the Testament, because Testament signifies blood. When you make a will, the last will and testament, you actually have somebody dies. It's not effective until the person is dead. So once the person dies, then you can inherit. You can marry. You can do whatever you want because you're an adult. Otherwise, you'd be underage. And so all of these teachings are part of the reason why Jesus did everything he did and said everything he said. So you'll have to listen to this tape many, many times to understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to read now about the three daughters in the back row who will all make it and be righteous in God's sight. One under the natural law, one under the Jewish law, and one under the Christian gospel. Now, the last group is the favored group, and that will be numberless. The Jewish people will only have 12,000, 12,000, 12,000 times 12, and that's 144,000. That's in chapter 7. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. And so that's a perfect number, meaning a perfect number of Jews. And you know what? These are the ones in the back row that actually make it. Why? Because they're righteous, not under the natural law, not under the Jewish yoke of bondage. They're actually righteous by faith, the same faith that Abraham had, the same faith. That's why he follows this book of Job. So these were beforehand. I'll prove it. So now you read, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. They each had a house every day, one one day of the week, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. All three ways to be with God, to have his favor. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings. You remember, Abraham later would say, God himself would provide a lamb, or the lamb, for a burnt offering, because there's only one. And if you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're in chair 4, who's going through chair 5 to be cleansed. And that's what's going on today. Cleansing is what's going on today. But wait, some of us are actually going to chair 6, which is you're a lover, meaning you're dead. You can't be resurrected until you're dead. You're always resurrected out of the dead. So you're born to die to live. And anyone that believes in Jesus, that's the perfect way. That's the perfect man. So Job is being taught something, and it's so interesting in this book. It's a prophecy about all three of those groups. It's a prophecy about all three of those groups. But they're all different from one another. The Gentile will be on the bottom of the heap during the return of the Lord. When Jesus comes back, there'll be the Gentiles, but some of them will be saved. Then there'll be the Jew on earth doing sacrifices just like God originally intended when the Jews were called to be a nation. They'll actually be running the world. But we will be above them, under God. So God and his angels are above the Lamb and his bride, up in the heavens. Highest heaven, God. The heaven closest to earth, man. And that's a temporary throne was set up for us to judge during the 1,000 years. And we'll be judging then and making sure everyone behaves themselves. Whether you're righteous or not righteous, doesn't matter. So I'm just saying, there'll never be any more than these three groups up here. You're either Gentile, or you're Jewish, or you're Christian. Those three groups. Gentile, Jewish, Christian. Now you don't want to be yoke of bondage, hypocrite, or lukewarm church in chair 2. But now I put that chair over here. The lukewarm church is the opposite of hot. I wish you were cold, number 1, or hot, but because you're in the middle, I have nothing to say to you. That's why they were cursed. That's why he cursed the fig tree. That's why he ended that. He said, even though you have leaves and it looks like you're going to produce fruit and be perfect like God, holy like God is holy, be holy as I'm holy, and so on. They never did it. So he cursed that fig tree and say, this tree will never bear fruit. So the only way they could get in now would be if they would believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as their Messiah. And they would have to accept him, and it will be. That's prophesied. It will happen exactly as Jesus said. So, now you understand the daughters and the sons. Now, every day then, he sacrificed because he said this. And it was so that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, just when the new Jesus will come back at that time, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, the righteous. And Satan also came along with them. Isn't that interesting? When God builds a church, Satan builds a temple right next door, or a tower, or something. He always has a little chapel or something right next door. He likes to dilute the church. He likes to dilute Israel. He likes to dilute natural man. So if he can have this sinner right here open, or this hypocrite right here, he'd love that, because they are not ready. They will not be wise virgins ready for the Lord's return. So, and he also would like to take away your faith so that you actually say you have faith in God, but it's actually, you're not really living by promises. You're actually thinking God's still commanding. And so you'll fall back into legalism or license, chair one and two. If you're a lover, though, you can't. You have to go on. So who for the joy that's set before you to be the bride of Christ? Who for the joy that's set before you, you endure. So here you begin, here you endure, and here is the end of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here is worship. I thank God. I'm happy right here. I thank God that I believe in Jesus. And I believe that I will attain to eternal life. You do not have eternal life now. You just have it spiritually. You have it in new heart. But then you need it soulishly. But then you need it bodily. Because you have to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Did you see that? So that's what he means. And everyone in that back row will make it. The wives, the girls, the daughters. Because they represent the righteous people of God. Always focus on the daughters. Because they represent the people of God. We're not talking about human. I'm just talking about prophetically. The daughters represent the passive side, which is they submit to the head. They submit to the head. But the head is actually the servant, because God is a servant. And just as the Father serves the Son by watching over him while he's on the earth, he also puts his hand forth, or, you know, puts his man back or whatever. And so Satan, this is what's going to happen when Satan does this. This is how Satan works. And Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord said to Satan, "Whence do you come? Where are you coming from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Well, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." In other words, I'm making my visitation, and I've noticed everything. And the Lord said to Satan, verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Wow. Is that possible for a pagan, for a heathen, for someone that's not Jewish or Christian? Yes. And so, thank God that Abraham came 430 years before the law was given. But when the law was given, they forgot all about Abraham, and they did not meet keeping the law with faith in Jesus. They did not. They forgot what he said to his son. It's written in their Bible. They can read it every day, but they misinterpret it because now they follow Moses. And they say to one another, "Are you keeping Torah?" Now, Torah is just a word meaning teaching or what's been handed down to us. Well, what's been handed down is not just the law of Moses, but it's also the promise of Abraham. So Jesus is part of that eternal promise. In fact, he's the one that his blood purchased for us to make effective that promise. Now that the man is dead, we now died with him. Amen. We now died with him. But not we physically, we spiritually, meaning psychology has to die, chair five. Psychology. Now I have a new heart in four, but I need a new soul, which I don't have yet, because only Jesus can do this, because only Jesus can do this, because only Jesus can do this. In fact, Jesus does everything. Jesus is our all in all. Now, so don't think superficially about history, the way history has worked out, because all three groups are going to have a place in heaven. All. So, all of this has not come about but it's trickier than you can think. So you can't just say what I'm saying and then go and try to look it up, because you'll be confused. So I'm just telling you, this is a key right here in the Old Testament. You have to read every book in the Old Testament, every book. You have to read it for all kinds of code words and things that you could read either as a law or as a promise, either as a law and as a promise. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, what's going to happen? You will surely die. Now, he didn't say, I'll kill you. So God doesn't kill anybody. God desires not the death of any sinner. So he's not the one. He's the one that loveth you. He's always been a loving father. That's where the Catholics are wrong. And that's where some Protestants are wrong. And that's where also the pagans are wrong. They've misunderstood the true picture of God. And that's why when Jesus came, he didn't pick up on the Gentile conscience and reason. He didn't pick up on the Jewish law. He never preached those. He preached against those two, because those will not perfect you. Nothing is made perfect under a law, natural law or the yoke of bondage. That is, following the Jewish law as though your flesh could please God by making a sacrifice. Job is making a sacrifice, so he's under the natural law. He doesn't know anything about Abraham. This is before him. This is the time of Nimrod. It's when the wicked are trying to build their temple, only they've been destroyed. And so now, and I know that for sure by reading this, I know for sure he's not living at this time or this time. He's living at this time. Not Abraham hasn't come on the scene yet. So Abraham, since he's not on the scene yet, that hasn't happened. His covenant is not known at all. So he doesn't know about Abraham. He doesn't know about Moses. He doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know anything. But watch, because this pagan still has hope. Now watch what happens. Just the first chapter. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? This is under the natural law, but you can't see that in that verse. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, ha, doth Job fear God for nothing? Isn't he doing this so you'll bless him and he'll be rich and powerful and wise and so on and so forth? Hath not thou made an hedge, Satan says to God, about him and about his house? You see, the natural man can be blessed in Dallas. People that have, you know, a false religion, or people that are just, you know, pagans, or people that openly wicked, they also can be blessed because they follow certain rules of nature. They follow certain rules of Judaism, and they're not Jewish. But people can follow some things, and they don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but they know, well, you have to do something. You have to work hard to get paid. You have to prove yourself. This world is all full of laws, except ours. Because now the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So these two won't lead anywhere. One and two won't make you. You can't be perfect through this. You have to be born again, and then you have to die, and then you have to resurrect so that you have the power of the Holy Spirit that guides you and leads you day by day. Now, in this world, you'll never see perfection. You cannot see it. Except Jesus. Jesus is the only one. And if you're married to him by a promise, you've got it made. Because you will have a perfect marriage. You will have a perfect job. You will have perfect neighbors. You will have everything's perfect, meaning they're right where they need to be. Because he's actually, God always gets his way. And God has everything arranged. You can read it in the Bible. Everything is arranged. This will then take place here. You have to read the code in order to understand this. You have to read it that all laws are actually a form hiding a promise. So that the holiness of God through the mercy. So here's the law down in the box, way down. But it always is mitigated. It is always then read through Aaron has to speak for Moses. So Aaron's the lawman. He puts the table down there. But now he speaks through Aaron to speak to the Pharaoh and sets him free by the power of Almighty God. So now you have holiness through mercy and power. Perfects a man. I could illustrate that over and over again, that that's always God's purpose. And now I have to go. When Peggy stands up, that means get ready. And so let me finish up here. And then Satan answered the Lord, said, "Does he fear you for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge about him and about his house and about everything that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now." Satan can't do that. Satan has no power at all. Amen. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's wicked. And so he's wanting to build the Tower of Babel again so that the government will be under his charge. He has all the nations of the world except America, and especially Texas. He doesn't have everything in the world on his side. Now, God also has people in the back row that are going to make it. They'll make it under natural law, under the Jewish law, and they also will make it under the spirit of the law. Better than the letter of the law that killeth. Those think on their own won't make it. But by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can make it. And everyone then will make it by faith. But some were elected, like the Jewish people. And others, just keeping the law, they'll also, when the day of the Lord comes, they'll also be in perfect order. God and the angels in the heaven, we, the Lamb and his bride, in the mid-heavens or in the lower part of the earth that rules over everything. That used to be Satan's place, by the way. Now it's ours because he was cast to the earth. And now, then the Jews will be in Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem. We're, by the way, the new Jerusalem, which brings in the eternal life. That, so they'll be there ruling from Jerusalem, making sacrifices just like God intended in the first place. But now the type will be now fed by the antitype, which we represent in heaven, Lamb and his bride. Because Jesus is the only hope. And they'll learn faith so that they can keep the law just like God originally intended. Because God never has an idea that he doesn't accomplish. If he has an idea about you and he's given you a certain place in this world to shine like a light, you'd have to be made light and salt, which makes every sacrifice acceptable. So then your works follow the word. Word, I exalt my word above my name. Always word is first and most important. Get the word. Forget the fruit, because that comes from Jesus anyway. It doesn't come from you. Forget the fruit. But everyone today is interested in the fruit, the marketing side of Christianity. You didn't act right. You didn't behave and so on. That's what people are saying. The Democrats say it, the Republicans say it, everybody says it. We're all trying to prove that we're greater and wonderful and so on and so forth. But it's fruitless. It's absolutely fruitless. So God is doing something here. I want to keep reading. I don't want to miss my point here. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in your power. In other words, he's granting that. This is a grant. Okay, you're right. He has been blessed. But it's because he was a good pagan. He actually did everything under the natural law. He had reason. He had discretion. He used his life wisely. Job is the most perfect person. Perfect. In every way. And God has blessed him because of that. Under the natural law. And now under the Jewish law, he'll find he has to curse that one because it doesn't work. And under the Christian law, so many of them are lukewarm today. And that's what God is doing. Separating the wise from the foolish. Separating the bride from the whore. Separating this from that. So that's what he's doing right now. That's why the end can't come right now. Because what I'm doing now is more important than preaching about when he's coming and how he's coming and all. That's something you don't need to worry about. That's all in the Bible. But what you need to do is make sure you're hot.
Amen.
Hot. Because then that you can make, if you're hot, you can make the lukewarm hot and the cold hot. It's easy. And the cold come in easier. Easier. The ones that are under natural law, they come in easier. I mean, people that like Sam, you know, Son of Sam, that kind of person, they hear the gospel and they go, whoa, that's good news. I'm taking that. That happened to me. So I can tell you, it happened. It happened to Paul. Paul was a good man, but he learned that Judaism didn't have the right promise. And so he wrote the book of Hebrews to say, this is one is built on better promises than we had. Go all the way back to Abraham. And that's why he has a lot to say about Melchizedek and Abraham and all these saints in the Old Testament. They'll make it. They're going to make it. Because Paul's gospel is just for us. We're reading it. The Jewish people don't even want to read the New Testament. And they especially hate Paul more than Jesus. Because Paul's interpretation is really clear. This is what they do. This is what we do. This is why it won't work, and this is why it will work. And because Paul was sent not to the Jewish people, he was sent to the Gentile people. And number one, because the whole Jewish purpose was to be a light to the Gentiles. But they were not a light. They were darkness. And God repudiated them. But Satan now says, hey, give me a chance. And now he's going to have 1260 days to bring tribulation on this earth. And a deal would be struck. Peace, peace, when there was no peace. And everyone will believe, you know, Trump will make America great again and all that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to happen. Even if it did happen to an extent, do not put your faith in that. Put your faith in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. If you don't have religious liberty in the foundation, not in the government, not in the church, but if you don't have religious liberty for all men as your foundation, the city with foundations, which Abraham was seeking for, you will not have just government on earth. So the government is not the issue. We're not trying to get a government. That's just indirect. But if you love Jesus with all your heart and soul and strength, then you'll be a lover of mankind, and the lukewarm and the also the pagan like Job will be saved. They will be. Because you're a lover. People like good news. Jesus' first sermon, Sermon on the Mount. First sermon was about happy hour and happy hour, and then you read what you're happy about. I'm happy that I mourn. I'm happy that I'm poor. I'm happy that, you know, wow, that's crazy. No. He's attacking your mind, your will, your emotions, so that you don't behave and making wrong decisions like you're doing right now. So the Bible always attacks your soul. Soul. Not just your heart. Because this Bible touches the heart. This is the only religion that touches the heart. This one. It's the truth. So that is important for Job, which he said was under the natural law. He is righteous. But God said, go ahead. You have everything. It's in your power. Only upon himself. Only upon himself. Don't take his life. I want him alive. Go ahead and tempt him. Go ahead and, you know, give him all kinds of boils and problems and economic and political and lose his reputation. I don't care about all that. Don't take his life. So what he's saying is, you will not take his life. So he's saying, only don't think I gave you that power. I'm restricting that. I'm saving that. Because I'm not done with Job. Now, at the end of this whole gospel, if you read in the next chapter, you'll see that he's living during the time of the Chaldeans. You remember Ur of the Chaldees. Kashtim. Kashtim means Cush. So Kashtim is his father. So Nimrod's father was Cush. So now, they are now, after the flood, and after they built the tower, and after they were separated, after that, that's when the big civilization started. And that's why Abraham, living in Ur, was called out by God, because he was worshiping the moon god Sin. And God met him and said, I want to make a testament with you. And it'll be 2,000 years from now, Jesus will shed his blood and then confirm this testament. Because you have to die in order for this thing, and the blood of goats and bulls won't do it. It has to be perfect sacrifice for you. Now, so Satan goes ahead, and all this rotten stuff happens. The Sabaeans attack one group, and the Chaldeans attack another group. So you know this is the time before Abraham, prior to Abraham, and prior to the Jewish understanding that Jesus has to be sacrificed 2,000 years later. So all these things are in the Bible, and just reading this first chapter is delightful because all the codes are here for the rest of the Bible. They're all here. But they could be in Isaiah. They can be anywhere you want. I don't care where you turn, it's always going to tell the same story. And why do I tell the same story every week? Because there's only one story. Jesus and his love. If he is a loving father and he's not an angry judge and he never has been an angry judge and he never will, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In other words, he was righteous. He wants you to be righteous. Those three daughters are the ones that are going to make it. Whether you're Gentile, whether you're Jewish, or whether you're Christian, you will all make it. But I know this. This one is the surest way. Whether you're Jew or Gentile doesn't make any difference. You're a new creation. This one is the surest way. And now that's the third one. That's the third one. We have precedence because we are the salt and we are the light. No other group is. So even those that are acceptable to God, Gentile, Jewish, even though they're acceptable, they have to follow our lead now because we're in charge right now. Even though it looks like the wicked, Satan, has asked another permission of God. Hey, can I destroy everything you built up? Sure, only this. I reserve the right to don't take their lives. So, during the tribulation, where will you be? Safe place, place of refuge, a place for 1260 days, you'll be salted away. Who cares where it is? It's somewhere on the earth. It's somewhere in a desert place where Satan cannot go. And besides, even if he did go, he wouldn't be able to do anything because you're a believer.
Amen.
How weak our faith is. Our faith is just in Jesus, but he exalts his word above his name. So it's the strongest thing in this world. More powerful than anything man can do and make, the Tower of Babel will fall down. Religiously and economically and politically. All of those towers will come tumbling down. Only the righteous will make it. So, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I know you do not understand what I said, but I have to give you things that I know you will understand later.
Amen.
And if I don't, I'm not good. And it doesn't matter that we have a few people. I don't care how many you have. I'll just do this with Peggy alone at home. And I do. But you have to do what God told you to do. And no later, you say, thank you. So if you just work one-on-one, it's hard to get a group. But you can do one-on-one. And therefore, if you just change one heart, one soul, one body, wow, you've accomplished something that you can have 10,000 people in your church. There are people here with 20,000 and so on and so forth. You can have that easily. But it means nothing. Because it's only two or three are gathered in my name. 10,000 may only have two or three Christians that said, I heard God today. And the other one says, me too. That's it. That's a church. A church is where two or three, then it's confirmed. So this church has two or three. And praise be unto God.
Amen.
You are slated for heaven. I hope that you listen not to me, but you listen to God speaking through me. That is, the holiness of God, through the mercy of God, through the power of God. Through the holiness of God, always speaking through the mercy of God, so that it's Mishpat Tzadik, which equals Mesharim, the power of God, unto salvation. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
So this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end. But you can't get to the end without going through the middle.